praise you, Lord. Tonight, Father, it's my desire that we see you exalted, that we see you magnified tonight, that we see your character manifested through what you've laid on my heart tonight, Lord, through experiences, Lord, that and a call to repentance that you laid on my heart, Lord, and for revealing those hidden things in my heart that, and in all of our hearts that are not right, things that we get exuberant about that are and passionate about that we lose perspective. Hide me behind the cross. Hide me behind Jesus. Holy Spirit, you come. You take control. You take control of my words, my lips, my thoughts. And let you and you alone, Lord, be seen in what is said tonight. And once again, you be exalted. You get glory, Lord, and let your glory shine in this place. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last night, I had an experience that kind of scared the fire out of me. And this is probably a good thing. And I don't mean the fire of God, but I mean the burning passion that I have against injustice, unrighteousness, and flat-out sin. And God arrested me right there while I was in the shower getting ready to go to work. And I had to do some major repenting because I caught myself. And let me tell you something. The reason it scared the fire out of me is because more than any other time in my life, there was murder in my heart. Now, Bill, what are you talking about? I don't think it's any secret that I am a person who absolutely detests injustice, unrighteousness, and sin. I was watching Disorder in the Court, and just to show you how completely denigrated and degenerated this world is, which we all know, there was a young man who had murdered a man who was 69 years old, and in the heat of what was going on in the courtroom, somebody on his side of the family, I don't know what the relationship was, it's not important, blurted out one of the most horrendous things I've ever heard. And maybe not the most horrendous thing, but it set me on fire. I was angry. And I mean, in my heart, this person did not deserve to live. The one who perpetrated the crime and this person who made the statement. And then everybody was wondering, well, why in the world did this melee ensue in the court? This woman said, you know, the man was 69 who was murdered. She said, what'd you think? He was 69. You think he was going to live forever? And I went ballistic. I went off. And I thought, God, we need to take all the people that are in the prisons, all these people that go in and start these gangs in prisons that can even reach out. Our system doesn't work. We need to take them. We need to throw the guns in the middle of the prison, have the guards stand on the outside, and the last one standing after everybody else is dead, we need to take him and murder him, kill him. Now, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not kill. That's not talking about what happens in war. That's talking about a heart of murder or murdering somebody, taking a life unjustly. And more than ever, I understand in the career that I have pursued for the last many years, I understand probably more than ever, and I have great compassion for these people, these men and women who give themselves to law enforcement, the reason that they kind of go off the deep end. They deal with the seamy side of life. They're human beings just like you and I, and they want to do good, and they want to help and be a part of the healing of the community. Now, there's bad policemen just like there's, you know, bad everything. Doesn't make any difference. But I was hiding behind a statement that I've made, and it's a true statement, but my heart was wrong. My heart was definitely dead wrong. And that is the fact that we are all God's creation, but we're not all God's kids. And I lost sight of the fact that God created those people, and he said, I don't want any of my creation to perish. Are you with me? And it scared me. It scared me to my foundations. And I began to repent in the shower. And then I began to pray for those people. Those people don't need to be taken out of our misery. They need to be saved. The whole point of what I'm telling you tonight and what I want to share, as God gives me the words and reminds me by the Holy Spirit of his word to share with you, is the fact that it's easy for us because we, every one of us, have passions and things that we, you know, we're passionate about, whether they're negative or you know, positive or whatever. The positive things, we don't worry about those. But in our passion, and our emotions. Reminded again of Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Is the fact that in our emotions and our passions, we sometimes can get to the place where we're carried away, to where our focus is arrested in the wrong direction. It's a dangerous thing for somebody in my profession. Security's not nearly like police work, but still it's the same in many ways. It's dangerous for somebody to get to that place, because then you go from that point to start justifying things like vigilantism. I thank God that I serve the risen God, and that He's begun a good work in me, and He's completing that work. Amen? And in you. The Bible says to guard your hearts. We've talked about that. With all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. This is an issue of life. I cannot stand to see people unjustly affected by wrongdoing. I mean, I'll throw this out. I don't know what it means. You be the judge of that. Let the Holy Spirit tell you if it's important or not. My very name, Bill, means determined guardian, determined protector. So I've been told. And I hate it because I've seen underdogs, which I was one in my younger years, put down, ostracized, kicked around and abused, you know, more than I care to think about. Maybe that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about what I do. I don't want to see unrighteousness and injustice and sin and wrong prevail. But I'm not God. And while I may have the ability through what the Word says to judge the fruit, which means the actions of somebody, I do not have a right to judge them. I don't care what the crime is. God is a God of forgiveness. He's a God of life, and that more abundantly. And for me to put myself up, or for any of us to put ourselves up in any situation that we're passionate about as judge, jury, and executioner is wrong. It's wrong. Flat out. There's no gray area. It's right or it's wrong. And in this case, I was wrong, and it scared me. I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like what I felt. And I confessed to God. I repented. I'm telling you, I did some major repenting in that shower. And I went last night, but I can tell you something, as I did that, and as my heart changed by the Holy Spirit, I felt free, and I felt clean. It lifted and it went. I was sincere about what I said. These are human beings. No question our system stinks. No question that, and I'm using my circumstances. You take anything you want to that you're passionate about, okay? I don't think there's anybody in this room that doesn't feel the same way, that there we see so many injustices, so many wrongdoings, and so many people doing wrong. But that shouldn't affect us, except in compassion and love and a heart to see people saved. Not just write them off and say, you know, God, deal with them and then let it be done with. If God dealt with us in the same way, honey, we'd all be in trouble. All you can say, amen. Again, He said, it's not my desire for any to perish, but all to come to eternal life. But He gives people the choice. The thing you also have to understand is in those things that go on, the enemy uses the things that we're passionate about without us even realizing it sometimes to pull us astray, to get our focus off of where it belongs. How many know what I'm talking about? To get our focus off of where it belongs, and that is on Him. There's not a day that you wake up, or that any other person that's on this earth doesn't wake up and takes a breath that has not been given by God. Are you with me? It's been given by God. God loves even those who are going to hell. It's not wrong to be passionate. It's not wrong to be emotional about some things. But one of the things we dare not do, and we've talked about this many, many times, we all know this, is we don't want to let our emotions run away with us. It's dangerous. And I don't care what the scenario is or what it is in your life that you're passionate about, you need to be very careful what's in control and who's in control. Because what I found out is easy when you see these things to take your focus off of that and your opinion to rise up, even though you may not speak it, and it's against God's plan and will. And you've all of a sudden cut yourself off from fellowship with God, because you've gone a place that He's not going to go with you. But the cool thing is that God in His love and His mercy comes and gently, not with a big stick or with an attitude, well, you really have done it now, you've gone too far, it's all over with. But he comes and says, wait a minute, wait a minute. And reminds you about what his heart is in these situations. God's affected by everything that happens to his creation. We need to understand that God's affected by all of the wrongdoing. Does it, because it hurts him? Well, I'm not going to comment on that. There's a possibility it hurts him, but what he's more hurt about is how it hurts and affects his people, those who are his own. There's many places in the Bible that talk about the fact that God doesn't even recognize those who are unsaved. What does that mean? Does that mean they're just throwaways? I remember hearing many times in my life, both through the Word and other places, that God don't make junk. It's the choices that people make that make them either evil or good, in His eyes and in reality. There's only one way, one truth, and one life, and that's Jesus Christ, who is the living Word. Amen? In this day and age, there are so many bandwagons you can get on. You know? I also thought when I saw this, you know, the fact that, you know, some of the things that I've heard recently, too, that if this is, and there was one particular thing, and I don't remember it right now, I'll trust the Holy Spirit to bring it back to me, but if ever, ever I saw a situation where people were not people or individuals, but they were sheeple, just following whatever. You know what that tells me? That tells me that the people are crying out for a direction. Yeah, in their selfishness, which is perpetrated by the one they serve and the one whose father, who they have as their father, is selfish. They want their own ways and they don't want to be told what to do. That it has been personified to me. But you see, they don't operate with any less passion than you and I operate with towards God. Unfortunately, it's misdirected. And the end result for them is not good. One of the things your Bible says is in this world we will suffer tribulation. We'll suffer trials. But God says, don't be concerned. I have overcome the world. We know in Psalm 91 that the Bible says, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come nigh you. One of the things we also know as Christians is we're supposed to be talking the solution, not the problem. And what I'm trying to say here tonight is not the fact that we're not aware of the things that are going on around us or the things like the situation with crime and things, which is all part of the big picture. Politics, I mean, politics is one of the biggest criminal organizations in the world today. At least in the United States anyway, probably everywhere, but I'll talk about what I know. But the point is that God is the one who's still in control. He's the one that says, I cause kingdoms to rise and fall. I hold rulers in my hand. Well, if he's got them in his hand and he's got you and I in our hand, what the heck are we fussing about? Why are we getting so upset? I'm going to tell you something. It'd be a quick and merciful thing for somebody to just, you know, have their life snuffed out in a trial or something like that, or executed because of a crime they committed. Think about that for a minute. It'd be merciful compared to spending an eternity of separation from God in hell. Now, I'll let you meditate on that. I think you'll understand where I'm coming from. I was reminded again that years ago when I used to run around with a particular group of men who were police officers in a particular city. And this was while I was in my beginning stages of my career. I used to take on the words and the actions of these guys, or not the actions, but the words and the attitude of these guys. We had some very colorful things to say about lawbreakers, long hairs, and at that time the gay people were just coming out of the closet. And God caught me then, and He said, "Bill," He said, "what have I forgiven you for?" And once again, I had to repent. Early in my Christian life, early in my career, or my job situation. But the point is that He told me then. And one of the things that I've always been thankful to God for is that in this, even if I get carried away, and this is one of the first times that I've gotten carried away to that extreme, I thank God that He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And He calls us back and He directs us into truth. The Holy Spirit, His job is to lead us and guide us into truth and to bring us back on track when we go astray. And you know what? It's possible for us to go astray. And the reason it is because sometimes our power, passions, and our emotions get so carried away that we lose perspective and forget who and what it is that's in control. I like who it is better than what it is. Your Bible says in Psalm 91 again, it says, "Only with your eye will you behold and see the reward of the wicked." God's the one who's going to repay wickedness. Now I'm reminded again what the Scripture says about the fact that who of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature, add one inch to your size or to your height? I'm also reminded of a simple statement that says, if you're going to worry, why pray? And if you're going to pray, why worry? I don't think there's anybody in this room that doesn't have eyes to see or ears to hear what's going on in this world. Politically, societally, is that a word? Sounded good anyway, huh, Gene? Anyway, so we don't need to be reminded of what's going on. We need to be reminded of who's in control, who it is that's in control, and what His plan is for this entire earth. Now, unfortunately, it's a given. We know one thing for sure. It's a given that there are people who are going to choose to go to hell, and there's going to be a bunch of them. If I can be so bold, I'll say a majority. But that doesn't diminish our responsibility here in this earth to continue to pray. Not exalt problems, not exalt situations, but exalt the one who has the answer to those situations. Amen? I'm telling you, it literally scared me. If I had been wearing shoes, it would have scared me right out of my shoes. I didn't like the person that was standing there in that shower. And I have never been confronted by the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't through harshness. It was by a nudge of the Holy Spirit that broke my heart at the hard attitude that I had. I can't stand to see somebody be put into a place where they're an underdog or they're taken advantage of. I can't stand it. I hate it. But I had to remind myself, or the Holy Spirit had to remind me, who it was that's behind that and the one that I need to hate, and that's Satan. Do you hear me? Not the people who serve him, but Satan. And to remind me that when I see these things, these are attacks not against society or against man, they're attacks against God. And these people are motivated by the one that they are related to. That's exactly right. They're imitating their father. I remember asking many years ago, how in the world, not out loud, but asking, how in the world can people do the things that they do? I don't understand. Well, that's because my heart and mind's been renewed. But I do understand. It's because all of the vile, disgusting things that have ever happened or that have been perpetrated on man in this earth by other men, whether it's in a position of government, a position of just greed or whatever, has been perpetrated by a dark, self-centered, self-exalting entity. And those who are foolish enough or have been blinded enough to where they can't see that they're serving one that's going to ultimately take away everything that they think they're striving for right now. Am I making any sense here? God is a good God. He's a good God. And I'm sure, I can tell you in my spirit, I know that He didn't just, you know, because these people have not, yes, He says they don't exist in my eyes because they're not of His family, okay? They're not heirs and joint heirs. They're heirs of something, but let me tell you, it ain't going to be pleasant. Guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it flow the issues of life. And I'm reminded once again that the Bible says, therefore, but for the grace of God, go I. Who you are and what you are, and we need to be very cautious in our walk with God, is because of the grace and mercy of God and because our focus is in the right place and because of God's sending the Holy Spirit to keep us on track.
Where does it say that in the Bible?
Patrick, can you find that scripture, please? I believe it's in the New Testament, and I believe it's something that Paul said, if I'm not mistaken. Therefore, but for the grace of God, go I. Something to that effect. That may not be exactly. Yeah, it's something close to that. Yeah, that's what I just said. Anyway, See, that's why the Bible says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You haven't got time to be worried about everything that's going on around you, except when God says, I want you to go speak to that person. Or God leads somebody across your path and opens the door for you to be able to minister to that person and give an answer of the hope that's within you. Amen? You got a full-time job just trying to take the tree out of your eye. So you'll never, ever in this lifetime see clear enough to take the speck out of somebody else's eye. And I guarantee you, you'll get so befuddled and so distracted that you'll start to backslide if you don't keep your focus on God and listen to Him. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he knows your vulnerable points. He knows the places where you have the biggest weakness. And those are the places he's going to attack. Thank God that if our heart is right and we're keeping our eyes where they belong and keeping our focus where they belong and keeping our relationship what it needs to be, we're not going to go those places. And we're not going to be distracted. And I pray none of you ever come to the place or have to come to the place where I did last night. I was not comfortable, I'm telling you. I was not comfortable. I knew my Father wasn't pleased. I knew He wasn't pleased. Wasn't that I wasn't feeling the right, feeling things that were net. Well, yeah, it was. I was wrong. I'm just flat out. No excuses, no embellishments, no diminishing. I was wrong. 110% wrong in my attitude. In my foolishness, the answer to the whole thing is just annihilate them and then we won't have the problem. Oh, honey, you better think again. Just as they've tried to annihilate the Word of God, until God does the final judgment on Satan and locks him in the pit along with all those who serve him and all those demonic spirits, it's going to go on just like the Word of God is going to go on. You're not going to diminish it or kill it. I'd like to say that that's going to be the way it is, but it's not. That's why the Bible tells you in 2 Timothy 3, in these last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of selves more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They will be truce breakers. They're out for themselves, just like Satan. How many remember that Satan is the one who authored selfishness? I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. Keep your heart with all diligence. Man, if I've ever been arrested by something, I've been arrested by that since we gave that message last week. I want my heart and my life to be pure before God. And I don't want it to be focused on anything but Jesus Christ. And I don't want to speak about anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I want to be reminded every day that for these people, listen carefully now, for these people who are in these situations, whether they be lawbreakers, politicians, I don't know if there's much difference, but anyway, I want to be reminded every day and every moment it's Christ in you and in me that's the hope of glory, the only hope they have. The other thing I know is when I'm fussing about somebody else's wrongdoing, I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing. And it's easy for me to slip into wrongdoing, even if it's only by thoughts. Did you hear me? Even if it's only in my thoughts. I remember reading in the Bible where it says that, if you've even had the thought, you've committed the sin. And you're guilty of all. That's why we dare not stray away from judging ourselves so that we don't need anybody else to judge us. I saw some of you affected by when I told you by what that woman said. That's why the Bible says, be careful what goes, that it's not that that goes into you that defiles you, it's that comes out of you that defiles you.
I'd like to check with her when she's about 68 and see how smart she is, if she makes it that far.
I understand the feeling. I understand the feeling, but I can't go there. I can't go there. I know that if I was in her shoes, I'd be the same way. But that shows you how much selfishness and how much self-centeredness and how much delusion and deception and blindness is in this world. That's why we have to be the salt and the light. We have to be that city that's set on a hill that's light cannot be hidden. We have to be that lamp. We have to be the salt that brings back God into this world. We're not going to save the world, that's obvious. But we don't give up. Many times I've heard law enforcement officers throughout my years say, I realize I'm not going to change the world, but I can affect one or two lives. And if I can do something for somebody even one day, or one person every day that I go in, then I have at least done something that's brought a change somewhere. Do y'all agree with that? That's the focus and the attitude we have to have. I catch myself sometimes with the things that go on around me, or the attitudes and the opinions and theories, and I remind you there's only one opinion that counts. It's God's opinion, not my opinion. And I'm just going to be blunt, not your opinion. God's opinion is the only thing that counts. So why am I worrying about what's going on around me in the respect? I don't mean to be blind or be ignorant of what's going on around you. We need to be sober and be vigilant because our enemy walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he devour. But we don't want to be a part of that. And sometimes by looking at those things and letting our emotions and passions get run away, we get distracted from the way that we need to be going and from our purpose and our mission in this life. I believe if you read Matthew chapter 6, it says, take no thought for tomorrow or what tomorrow brings. You're in my hands. I'll take care of you. And I think that's more than just food and drink and clothing and a covering over your heads. I think that's one of the promises that comes under the heading that you can filter through Jeremiah 29:11. Amen? Hallelujah. I thank God that I serve a God who doesn't let me go off the deep end very far before he, because he's the good shepherd, brings me back. Brings me back. Don't turn to the right or the left. This is the way. Walk in it. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Well, I didn't find the exact verse, I don't think, but there's something similar to it. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
Very close. But there is a scripture that is very close to the one that says that, therefore, but for the grace of God, go I.
Go I is not in there. I remember what you're looking at.
If I knew exactly where it was here, I'd probably quote it right. But basically, that's what Paul was saying. Is you know, if it wasn't for God's grace, I'd be the same. I'd be in the same place. I think we can all say amen to that. Praise the Lord. I thank God that God doesn't look at things with the same eyes that we look at things. Because if that was the case, there again, if he was to consider our transgressions, who would stand?
We'd all be dead.
That's right. Jesus would have come in vain. And that's why it's so important that we understand what we ministered on Sunday and the fact that God, our salvation is sure. It's sure. That doesn't mean that once saved, always saved. That means that you have to keep your heart with all diligence. You have to judge yourself. You have to let the Word of God have reign in your life and be able to have the Holy Spirit to bring you about, if you will, be the rudder of your ship, meaning your life, to steer you in the right direction. You have to have it. That's why it was so important when Jesus told them, unless I go and the Comforter comes, you know, I've got to go so he can come. And he explained what the Holy Spirit's all about. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we'd all be shooting in the dark. We'd be just hoping we'd make it. More than ever before in my life, I am so sure of my salvation and my direction. Doesn't mean I can't go astray. But see, when I do, God, in his love and his mercy by the Holy Spirit, comes back to bring me back into the path. Amen? I'm ashamed of what I felt. I am. But it's over with and done with. I've been forgiven. And I knew I was because I felt the heaviness and the bondage lift off of me. Praise the Lord.
In my life, Bill, I've been there quite a few times.
Well, it's easy. I mean, there's things absolutely that we have great passions about that we absolutely detest in our lives. But the point is, we dare not let them take control of us. But thank God, if we do slip for a moment, once again, God, whose mercies are new every day, whose salvation is new every day, is right there to pull us back on the track that we need to be on. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I've loved you, and I do love you with an everlasting love. And no weapon, no plan, no device, no attack will prosper against you when you're really His. That's one of the reasons why I say very often, just because you stand in a garage and call yourself a car, that doesn't make you a car. There's many standing in churches today, as we all know, who are claiming to be Christians who don't have a clue. They don't have the first clue what that means or what a Christian is. They know how to speak Christianese, but they don't know how to walk it. And that's because they don't have the relationship. They're living on the traditions and the religious theories that men have taught over the years. Religious denominations. Now, I'm not saying there's not some truth in those, so I'm not running them down. But I'm saying there's only one way, one truth, and one life, and that's Jesus Christ, because He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I got to be careful about the soapboxes I stand on. I belong to Him. So once again, I affirm and I reaffirm my vow. I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But not just crucified, dead and buried, but risen and now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He is my head. I am part of the body. And so because the enemy is under His feet, He's under my feet because I am part of that body. And the enemy is now my footstool and your footstool. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. All of a sudden the old song just rose up inside me. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me, and He found the narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. And because He lives in my heart, I have direction. I have someone who's there to keep me on the straight and narrow. Amen? You do too. Praise the Lord. We all do. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you. See, when it gets in you, you can't get it out of you.
Yeah,
can't get it out of you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What do you think? Did you get blessed tonight? Did you hear anything that encouraged you, but also that helped?
Oh, no.
Praise the Lord.
Down here
that poor lady, I'm telling you, if she almost, if I'd have gone any longer, she'd have needed more paper.
I have three more sheets. I can't prepare.
Praise God.
I wish I knew shorthand. Then I could just really go.
Praise God. You know, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about God's love, how it's unconditional. It's not based on what we do. It's based on who we are. And that's the way we need to be with Him. We need to do not because of what He does, but because of who He is. We need to worship the Creator, not the creation. Amen? And as we keep our focus on Him, the blessings of God are going to come. They're going to come. Amen? They're going to come automatically. We don't have to seek after Him. We don't have to run after Him. We need to run after Him with all that's within us. Seek Him with all diligence. We need to hunger and thirst after Him. Can't get enough. I remember the observation Stan made here not too many years ago or not too long ago. He said, you know, it's amazing how when you eat natural food, you eat to a point where you're full and then you're satisfied. But with God, The more you eat, the more you want. You're never satisfied. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't ever want to leave that place. I want to act like I'm starving to death when it comes to Him. Are you with me? Praise the Lord.
You know, Bill, I had a strange thing happen to me yesterday. I'm building a small piece of apparatus, and I needed some channeling and stuff. And I found some parts and pieces in my garage, and I thought, okay, I can weld those two together. I got them welded and things like that. But I needed some 4-inch channel iron. And I thought, yeah, I need it. I know where to get it. And I didn't want to go downtown. I didn't want to drive around and anything like that. So we were doing our food bank yesterday. And as I drove from the from Safeway with the load, I thought, well, you know, let's see. I said, I'm going to take this over to, you know, Jackie that comes over here. She sits. We were dropping it off at Jackie's house so that she could just put it in her car and she doesn't have to go to the church. And
sure.
We just shortened it up a bit. And I knew her husband had done quite a bit of work and all kinds of stuff. So I said, you know, I said, Jackie, is there any chance that you have any channel iron lying around here that your husband used to use? She said, you know, maybe there is. Let's take a look. You know, so we went in, we looked at one barrel and never saw anything. Look into another barrel and look at that and look around and couldn't see it, and all of a sudden I saw a piece sitting there, and I thought, let me take a look at this, and I pulled it up, exactly the right length, exactly the right size, perfect. And I thought, you know, when I was driving there, and I thought, I had that, what do you call it, inner voice or whatever, saying, hey, ask her for some steel, ask her if she's got the steel.
Praise the Lord.
It's amazing that even God knows exactly what I want Jesus to do.
Righteous man steps are ordered by the Lord.
That's right. He knows what you need before you even have need of it. What an inventory system, Harry. To know where that very piece of steel was that you needed.
Yeah, I just can't imagine how he could figure all that out. But I guess he does. But it was just a good feeling. And I thought, and I told me when I got to the car, I said, well, I said, guess what I found, you know.
And Marie's rolling her eyes. I can see it now.
She was quite surprised to see it. She knew what I was looking for, and she knew I was going to have to go downtown and see if I can find something.
Praise the Lord.
But it was just amazing how just that one little thing. It's not much. It's a small thing. But He takes care of every little detail.
Amen. Amen.
And once again, you know, He judges the heart. We look at the outward appearance. We may see things even in each one of our alive. You know, I'm sure there's times when somebody gets disgusted with me around here. And, but the point is, what you need to remember is you're only seeing the exterior. You don't really know. Let me take that back. Let me kind of fine-tune that a little bit. Except by the fruit in a person's life, you really don't know what's in their heart. Okay? And it's easy with our petty grievances and things, and like I say, the little things that annoy us, to really get, you know, and let me tell you something. It can go far beyond just having feelings that are wrong. It can go where the fact that you can separate fellowship with somebody that you don't have a right to separate fellowship with. And so we need to be very careful, and like I say, guard our hearts. And I don't say it. God says it. I'm just echoing what He says. So, praise the Lord. So I'm back looking forward to going to work. You know, one of the things that we've always done at the club and everything when the guys get together, and even one gentleman who I don't know if he's saved or not, he's an ex-deputy sheriff out of Park County, and he's a good friend. Bill and I know him. I don't know if Harry knows him or not. A guy by the name of Dale McCallum. He spent 28 years with the Park County Sheriff's Department as a posse member and a reserve member and a mounted patrol member. And he's a good guy. I really want to see him saved, but when we go up, before we'd ever start to work, and again, this comes from the word that was given in a message, that one of the things we do is we go up, and when we pray, we say, Lord, we want to operate in Your righteousness. Not in false authority, which means authority, a lot of the authority you see in this world is false authority. It's not based on the government of God. It's based on, well, we want to go there. And so we say, Lord, we want to operate in Your authority. We want to be a blessing here. We thank You for protection over us. We thank You for your gifts in operation so that we can have a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge when we need it. To be a blessing to these people, not to be a hindrance or a distraction or a hurt to them, but so that everybody can have a good time and that we can let your love and your light shine. Ministers of good, righteousness for good against evil. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anything we need to pray about? Any testimonies anybody wants to give?
Well, the lady that we prayed for, she twisted her knee. She's got back home.
Praise the Lord.
She's hobbling around, but she got back home. She's taking care of her. So.
Praise God.
She just tells, she asked for me to thank the church for the prayers, because she sure felt that there was something.
Praise the Lord. Happening.
You just thank God, not us. Amen. He gets credit. We just did, you know, we're obedient. That's all we were. Anyway, praise the Lord. Well, Father, I thank you for this time, and I thank you, Lord, that you are continually at work in us. Once again, you said you've begun a good work in us, and you promised that you would complete that work until the return of Jesus, your Son. And Lord, I thank you that you said that you, the one who works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So, Lord, once again, right now, we, by an act of our will and by an act of surrender, Lord, surrender to you. Have your way with us, Lord. Have your will in our lives. We surrender to that. We don't want to hold anything back. We want to be completely surrendered to you so that we can be all that you have designed for us to be. So that we can be that vessel of gold and honor that's fit for your use in this world and in your kingdom, Lord, to accomplish your design and your will and your thoughts and your plans in every area, every aspect of this life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here, being a part of our lives, and for fulfilling your purpose in our lives. Father, we love you. We thank you again. We thank you for your word. Seal your word in our hearts, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that when we leave here tonight, we've been touched by you and by your word, and it accomplishes what it's sent to do and will not and does not return void. Go with each one. Bless them, Lord. Redeem the time. Thank you for your promise of sweet sleep and rest. And we look forward to being in your presence corporately again, Lord, on Sunday. We pray for Stan and Connie. They'll have a safe trip. We pray for their time here with their family, Lord. And it'll be blessed. It'll all be blessed because of you. Because that's your plan, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you honor and praise and glory and thanksgiving. Amen.